702.
WhatsApp Profilwe.
On 072 702 1702.
So this morning, as per usual, our resident car enthusiast and independent motoring journalist Kumbi Mtshakazi joins us in studio. We have the pleasure of his presence, IRL, in real life. Good morning, Kumbi.
Good morning, Rufilo. Good morning to the listeners.
It always is such a pleasure to have you here. And you've arrived at a fantastic moment because we've just had an amazing drop-off of these delicious-looking Koo Sisters, yes, which we'll indulge in very, very shortly with some coffee. Don't tell anybody that I'm going to just sneak a few minutes whilst Anthony does his sports and grab a few bites. But yeah, you're also invited, Kumbi.
Thank you so much.
In studio.
Good being here.
So, of course, this morning, Kumbi, we're going to be taking a look at this unfortunate accident or car crash in Pongola where a truck driver's reckless behavior caused an accident that killed 20 people. We'll delve into the details of that. We're also going to be taking a look at how to behave, as in follow the rules, during load shedding when lights are out at intersections.
Yeah.
And fundamentally, you know, reduce the level of friction and frustration and road rage.
Yeah.
If you just follow the rules and just be more present, it makes life so much more easier for everyone. And then you're going to wrap things up with a review of the Range Rover Evoque D200. You're saving the best for last. That's our dessert, right? Just give us a sense of the kind of driving that has been attributed to this truck driver in KZN, where we saw 20 people dying on the deadly N2 Pongola strip. It really, really was horrific and unfortunate.
Yeah, you know what, Rufilo, I think driver recklessness is a thing, and I think truck drivers really sometimes take it to the extreme. I think we noticed how he was overtaking, right? And there's a solid line and over 1.2 kilometers of stretch of road where cars are literally moving out of the road for him, etc. But I think driver recklessness is a thing, and we're going to need the Department of, you know, transport and, you know, traffic, etc., to really be strict on these truck drivers, because they, when they crash into, you know, cars, etc., the implications are always horrible. And I mean, right now you had kids from 5 up until I think 15 or so, and they've lost their lives, and it's really, really sad.
A bucky load of children losing their lives in that accident. It speaks to so many issues, right? It speaks to law enforcement, it speaks to, once again, as you say, driver recklessness, but also just people it makes you think or wonder about people getting their licenses lawfully, right? And proper driver education and training.
Correct.
But then you look at the learner transport system as well.
Yes.
And the fact that we can't take it for granted in our South African context that whether you're a poor family or a middle-class family, schools are able to provide reliable, safe, covered transport. Instead, what you have are 19 children on the back of a bikey. It's, you know, so many things come up from through this one incident that are incredibly distressing.
Definitely.
So, yeah, it's unfortunate. The 28-year-old driver appeared in court on Monday and it's been postponed to the 26th. So we'll be watching the screen. But, you know, either way, even if justice prevails, it's so unfortunate and so sad all around.
Definitely. I think, like I mentioned, I think I'm a father, right? And you want to send your child to school and let them come back home. I think that was really, really unfortunate, and I really, really hope that the entire system changes, like you've mentioned. I think we need the Department of, you know, school of education and even roads and traffic, you know, to just put in some effort into transport, learner transport. And it's unfortunate that all these kids, 19, in the back of a van, but what other choices do their parents have?
Sure.
So I think that's where we need really all the education and transport coming in together to at least assist in bringing reliable, safe and transport as well.
Yeah. Intersections and load shedding, Kumbi. I alluded to people getting their licenses lawfully. So having, first of all, studied that handbook, that learner's license K53 handbook, that covers all of these things, right? What happens when the lights are out? What then? What do we default to? Does it become a four-way stop?
Yeah.
Do you yield to the people on your right? Do you yield to the people that arrive at the white line before you? All those lovely things.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, load shedding, stage 6 showed us flames.
Mm-hmm.
Stage 5, still the same. We're at stage 4 right now. So we're still living the reality of driving down unlit streets with robots out of commission.
Yeah.
And gosh, clearly we need a re-education program for everybody, right? So to try to sort the wheat from the chaff and say, yeah, this one bought their license, doesn't even matter anymore, right? Stress levels are high. I just saw, I'm watching the screens right now, a newsroom Africa, just touching on a study that was done, a happiness index that was done by the University of Johannesburg, and saying that load shedding is causing increased levels of stress and frustration amongst citizens, right? So it's a real thing, and I have no doubt it obviously spills over into the roads. But just what have you observed on the roads when it comes to how we behave or forget the rules as soon as we get to intersections don't work?
You know, everybody just wants to move on. Everybody just wants to go, I want to go, right? But, and this is where the road rage really comes in, because you get to the intersection and you might have been the first person there, but the other driver coming in from the opposite direction just thinks, you know what, I'm going in. And that's where you just really just need to, you know, slow down as you approach the intersection, just slow down. And even if it means that you are the first one there and the other driver came, because that's ultimately going to save you a whole lot of money. You know, because if should an accident happen, now you're sitting on the side of the road and now it's an extra 20, 30 minutes you didn't want in your life, and extra 300,000 rand out of your pocket.
More than that. Yeah, absolutely.
So I think that's where people just need to, you know, remember, man, just calm down, you know, relax, take it easy, and just avoid road rage, because this is where a lot of people get to intersections and I just want to go. I'm going to studio. I don't care what else is happening. I will pass through. We have this mentality that as long as you can see me, and that is absolutely wrong. Just do what you're supposed to do. At a robot, and the robots are not working, treat it as a stop sign, right? And if we don't have pointsman or points guard to help us, treat it as a robot. And if people are coming in from the right first, let them, you know.
It's a
four-way stop, and that's it. And do not assume that when it's your turn, that you should go. Mm-hmm. So always make sure that, because not every driver is going to respect that, it was your turn, so you can go. So always be very, very cautious. Very, very cautious on the roads. Yeah. So,
And of course, you know, Kumbi, it speaks to so much of what's going on. You're talking about assumptions. So much of what's going on is also, we're all reading each car's body language, right? Mm-hmm. Is this driver slowing down when they reach the intersection? Yeah. So even though you have right of way, you've done the right thing, you then might hesitate and cause even more confusion, because someone coming from two other different directions looks like they have no intention of stopping. And then they do stop at the very last minute. So, guys, let's be conscious of the effect that our driving and our body language, or a car's body language, has on the road as well. Do approach that solid line and that intersection slowly. Don't stop at the last minute. Don't try to sneak in and slipstream through, you know, when another car has right of way and just like sneak in, because that just really does fundamentally mess things up. Yeah. We want to get to our destinations happy, feathers unruffled, in a happy state. We want to try to maintain some equilibrium, because of course the load shedding is not doing any of us any favors at all. It really, really can be stressful.
And I mean, when you look at, it's not just cars on the roads, right? You've got pedestrians, you've got motorcycles.
Let's talk about pedestrians.
You know, and people forget about pedestrians, especially because the robots are not working. I automatically just think, no, you know what? I'm just going, stop sign for me and all the other cars. I couldn't care about the other people. And there's actually been, I've seen a lot of accidents actually in terms of pedestrians being knocked over, because as a pedestrian, I thought, okay, fine, let me also cross. And
because of course these rules, you know, these intersections become these four-way stops for motor vehicles. Mm-hmm. And then what you have are pedestrians that have to now navigate our erratic driving. I was stopping and starting, and I had exactly that kind of moment yesterday, actually, where a woman was sort of weaving between traffic, and I had a moment of irritation thinking, what are you doing? Like weaving between, and I remembered, well, there's no light, there's no green man flashing for her to actually navigate with or to work with. So we really need to be super cognizant of that. And the fact that this person who's crossing the intersection might feel like an inconvenience to you, but they are flesh and bone. They don't have the benefit of an aluminium metal, a cage that, you know, that they're ensconced in. So let's just be cognizant of that and accommodating, more than accommodating, in fact, kind to pedestrians. Motorcycles, what kind of behavior have you been noticing there on the road?
So in terms of motorcycles, I think they kind of sneak in with the car, so they'll go side by side with the car, right? And it's the moment that the stop sign is essentially, they give the other drivers right of way, they'll kind of slipstream as well with the motorcyclist. And a lot of, I think, cars really become a bullies when it's time for a stop sign type of, you know, when there's load shedding and stuff, they become bullies, and it's only cars and nothing else. We're forgetting about all the other aspects we've mentioned, you know, bicycles, motorcycles, you know, people, etc. So I think this is where everybody is just a war. Everybody just trying to get in, and everybody should treat everything like a stop sign. When you can see a pedestrian, let them pass, because there is nobody to help them. So that's ultimately what I've noticed. And motorcyclists also need to stop with, you know, slips coming in from the left when you can't see them, etc. Mm-hmm. And I've noticed it with delivery bikes a lot. I think I've complained about this for the longest of time, where they are becoming quite reckless at the moment, where they are just all over. You don't see the, you know, blind spot. You can't pick them up anywhere till it's too late. Mm. And I've seen a lot of delivery motorcyclists being knocked down as of late.
Yeah. Here's a question for you. If you are in the delivery bike business, as in you own a fleet of them, and you either rent them out to drivers, to delivery men, or perhaps you have a retail company that is managing a fleet of them, what is the kind of training that your delivery bike drivers actually undergo? Because my sense is less that they're becoming less reckless, but more that, of course, motorcycles delivery specifically is becoming more ubiquitous. It's everywhere now. Mm. And so guys are just hiring bikes, being given a job. Yeah. Do you know the rules? And they say yes. Do you know how to drive this thing? And they say yes. Yeah. But actually, the training isn't there, and it's needed. And the awareness of road safety and road rules is also not there, not to mention the time crunch, right?
Yeah, yes.
You've got however many minutes to get this to to dash this over to your customer. And if not, you'll be in trouble. Yeah. So all sorts of factors there. But if you are in that space, give me a shout on 0727021702 and just tell us, share with us if your company has taken any precautions, first of all, to train your delivery men, but most importantly, to keep them safe, therefore keeping everyone else on the road safe. Delivery bike on the highway, stuck.
Yeah.
And I just looked at this thing and I thought to myself, this is something that a 16-year-old takes to school and back.
Mm.
This vehicle had no business being on the highway.
Yeah.
It had no capacity to even be in the small lane, slow lane. It was so slow. And I thought to myself, we need tons of education around this.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk the Range Rover Evoque, the D200 Aerodynamic HSE.
Yes.
You got to drive this when Kumbi, and I get a sense you fell in love with this vehicle.
I did. Oh, my word. So I drove this last week.
I see you getting misty-eyed. Yeah. Carry on.
So I drove this last week, and I was in a, you know, as I said on my socials, I was like, you know, spending a week in, you know, luxury and opulence, because I felt, you know, that the British have done quite a massive job on this, on the Land Rover and Range Rover stable, obviously. And now driving a Range Rover, this is obviously the entry. So for you to get into the, you know, Range Rover family, starting off with the Evoque, nice price, you know, nice price point. I think you're looking at 1.2 million to just get in. And I think buyers who are really looking at those type of cars, you know, you've got the X3, the X5s, etc. But for what I witnessed that week, the level of comfort, the luxury of the drive, you know, everything in that car is really opulence. And I think there's a lot of features, obviously, within the car itself for the standard price. And that's whereas a lot of manufacturers and competitors, you know, it's standard price, and then you have to still add on quite a lot of options. And
sure.
I really, really enjoyed driving that car. I think there are obviously a few niggles here and there, you know, like the high gloss panels and the, you know, piano black touches where you touch.
No, that's not obvious. Tell me about that. What is problematic about that high gloss touch? And what did you say it was?
The piano black finishes.
What's going on there?
So the moment you're touching your touch screen, the infotainment display, the fingerprints.
Yes.
It does not take. You can go to, you will have to stay with the, you know, microfiber cloth in your car, because I'm a very,
I'm fastidious.
There we go. That's the word. And I always had to use my microfiber cloth to keep on wiping on, because the fingerprints are just all over. And you've got two screens on the one for the infotainment, and the other to control, you know, your ride, how you want your car set up, etc.
Sure.
So you've got all these screens on there, and this piano black, you know, it looks good, but it's not really practical for me.
It's not practical.
It's not really practical. I prefer, you know, just the wood finish or just, you know, leather dash.
Mm.
And it does have, you know, there is leather on the dash, etc. But that piano black was just for me. Yeah, fastidious.
Too imagine. Much. Yeah. All right, fantastic. Yeah. So you enjoyed the opulence, you enjoyed the luxury, didn't quite like the interface. Let's talk, I mean, I guess if you're buying a car of this price point and of this nature,
yeah.
Are you worried about fuel and economy and what you're getting out of that?
Here's the thing, right? Regardless of how much money you make, I think fuel is always a factor. And this is the nice thing. So we drive the Range Rover Evoque is powered by a 2-liter diesel engine, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a fan of diesel engines. I think they are frugal and, you know, they go the long distance on a tank, etc. And, you know, they last longer in the lifelines.
Yeah.
And in terms of fuel in this Range Rover, I was literally averaging 7.4 liters per 100 kilometers.
Sure.
So that is, that translates to almost 900 kilometers on a single tank.
Lovely.
So that for me was also something that I really appreciated, albeit the tank is bigger, sure. So on every fill up, you will spend quite much, right? But
mm-hmm.
this, the way that you just go longer on a tank, I think for me that was quite interesting. 7.4 liters is honestly something that I struggle to get out of little cars these days. And I won't mention any names.
Why don't you? Give us a comparison. Go ahead.
So I struggled to get literally out of my Polo.
Yeah.
I struggled to get 7.4 liters per 100.
Yeah.
And now we are in a car with a bigger tank, a bigger size, obviously more weight, much more weight, etc.
Sure.
But I'm getting 7.4 liters per 100.
And they managed to do it.
So that was quite interesting.
Yeah. All right. Fantastic stuff. Handling on the road. What does it feel? What does this baby do when it does?
So, so it's quite lovely in terms of handling. Right handling is perfect. The only worry for me is in terms of the wind and noise buffeting in the cabin.
Mm-hmm.
I think you open one window and suddenly you have to open all windows for you to balance out that window buffeting.
Oh, yeah.
So I think, and that's as little as, you know, 60 kilometers an hour I noticed. And I think it's just the way that the windows are set up. Whereas if they put on much more dampening on the windows, etc., mm-hmm. There will be less buffeting. So that was the one thing that I didn't like. But in terms of the ride handling, it handles perfectly. There isn't any... And here's the other thing, right? I never felt the need to be in a rush when I was driving that car.
Mm.
It's that, you know, you don't want to go anywhere fast. I will get there. I'm driving perfectly, you know. So that's it handles quite perfectly, and I was quite happy with it.
Oh, you know that Kanye West song, right? Drive slow, homie. When you're driving in luxury, you're unhurried, you're unbothered,
exactly.
You're feeling good about your life.
Yeah,
yeah,
so
that's what was going on with you. All right, fantastic stuff. Kumbi, just give me a sense of what you're expecting in terms of cars on the horizon, maybe one or two that you're particularly looking forward to.
Gee whiz, I thank you so much for that question, right? You know, as much as we're going electric now, I think right now, I think the car to look out for
mm-hmm.
would definitely be the Audi e-tron SUV range. I think they're quite expensive. So that's our problem with the electric range. But I think that car is definitely something to look out for
mm-hmm.
In terms of people who buy luxury cars, because it's all over 2 million rand, right? So if you're looking for a luxury car and you don't want to spend that much money, obviously, in terms of fuel, but you know, a low money on charging, I think the Audi e-tron range is ultimately something to look out for. You've got the power that you need. And you've got all these acres of space within the cabin and just presence,
mm-hmm.
right? So I think this is definitely something to look out for. And I've noticing that, you know, manufacturers are really, really pushing the electric agenda. So I think the Audi e-tron range is really something to, e-tron SUV range is something to look out for.
Okay, fantastic stuff. Final word from Bernadette, calling from Johannesburg. You want to comment on the four-way stops, Bernadette. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Rafael. Yes, I know that you had said we should treat four-way stops or robots that aren't working as four-way stops.
Sure.
Just what you observe on the road, people do treat robots that aren't working as four-way stops because they also don't stop at four ways.
Oh, Bernadette.
I mean, I just witnessed that now.
Yeah.
You know, they just don't stop. So they treat the robots that aren't working exactly the same manner.
Oh, my goodness. Bernadette, a truer word has not been spoken all morning. And that is our fundamental problem, right? Not
yes,
following the
absolutely.
Rules, period.
Absolutely. And then the second one was the scooter drivers. I mean, besides them driving on pavements, it's just hilarious, actually. It's strange. I've seen a couple of accidents with scooter drivers in the past couple of weeks. But particularly the checkered scooter drivers, they are, I don't know whether they train, obviously not. I have phoned in to checkers that line that's on their scooter boxes.
Yeah. And what kind of response did you get?
They asked me to take a picture or give them the registration number.
Okay. Yeah.
And I'm saying that I'm driving. I can't do that.
Yeah.
I'm just raising it as a general issue for checkers, if it can please be addressed.
Okay.
Because they've got that 60-minute delivery.
The checker 60,
yeah.
All right, Bernadette. Well, first of all, thanks for calling in and pointing out something so obvious, which is that, well, we are treating robots, so intersections like four-way stops, as in we blow right through it. But, if anyone from Checkers 60 could, you know, give us a shout and talk to us about training for their drivers, but I think it goes beyond them. It's all delivery drivers, and the more we rely on online shopping and fast deliveries and quick deliveries, we see a proliferation of even more scooter delivery drivers, and it really is worrying for them, for drivers, everyone on the road, that they're not getting the requisite training and understanding of how to keep safe and follow the rules of the road. So if you are in that space, do give us a shout on 0727021702 or call me 011-883-0702 and just tell us what you are planning on doing to ensure safety on the roads. Kumbi, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for taking the time this morning. How do we find you on the socials really quickly?
@IamKumbi on Twitter and KumbiRyam on Instagram and TikTok.